Welcome to the Love Irish Food Green Ireland podcast series, episode 1. I'm your host, Conal O'Moran. Love Irish Food is dedicated to sustainable and local Irish food and drinks brands, supporting the many, many thousands of local jobs and communities that depend on the Irish food industry. Visit loveirishfood.ie for a full list of all your local brands. In this series, we'll be looking at topics affecting the Irish food industry, ranging from the shop local movement, funding, selling online, digital marketing, and so much more. And we have exceptional food and drink talent lined up to give you their tips, insights, and knowledge, and all in a convenience-sized 30-minute bite. In this episode of Green Ireland, I'm delighted to welcome Sian Young, Head of People and Planet at Britvic Ireland, and Michael McCambridge of the eponymously named McCambridge's Bread that we all know and love. They're here to chat about our green planet and how the food industry can help keep it that way, as well as how the shop local movement is helping them and the Irish food industry. Sian, we had a chat off air and you were telling me about some of the difficulties about maintaining and building up sustainability. And it reminded me of Kermit the Frog. It's not easy being green. Do you remember he used to sing that in the Muppets?
I do remember it.
So do you want to respond to Kermit? It's not easy, is it?
It's not. No, it's not indeed. So I've been working with Britvic for a long time, and a couple of years ago, I was asked, having been working as marketing manager on Ballygown, would I take a step back and would I look at the sustainability plan? What did it mean for our brands, and particularly for Ballygown? Because obviously being a natural product, our natural environment is incredibly important to us, and how do we protect it? And one of the biggest things I was looking at was our packaging. So obviously we're sold in plastic bottles, and I'd had a naive assumption that it would be as simple as just coming up with some different packaging format. However, the more I looked into sustainability, and as I spoke to the experts that we have, and I've been very lucky to benefit from speaking to a lot of people with expertise in the area, and I suggested, you know, would we move away from the plastic bottle? All of the technical people and the scientists looked at me like I was mad, because we have an awful, you have to look at sustainability from a very broad perspective. It's not just about plastic waste, which is an incredible concern, and pollution is a very big concern. But we're all aware of the need to reduce our carbon footprint to protect the water quality and the natural environment that we have around us. And the problem with an awful lot of materials is, while they might appear better in terms of that they might be associated with less waste, the likes of glass has a very high carbon footprint. So if we were to simply turn around in the morning and say, okay, we're not using plastic anymore, we're moving into glass, our carbon footprint would absolutely go through the ceiling. So it's very important when you're looking at sustainability to take a really balanced approach. You do need to do an awful lot of work to really get underneath the skin of the problem, and be really creative in coming up with solutions. So on Ballygown in particular, which is one of the first brands I've really focused on, we are indeed looking at alternative packaging solutions. Obviously, we have our refillable water cooler bottles, which is fabulous because they're fully reusable and there's no waste associated with that. We do use glass in areas where it's appropriate. But the biggest step change that we've made is we've moved to 100% recycled plastic.
Just this week.
So, well, yes, it's been a labor of love, but yes, we've been producing it since the start of this year. We've moved into a 100% recycled plastic bottle. Now you'll see that the bottle's hitting the shelves at the moment and over the course of the next short while. And I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot of the advertising around it. But we put a lot of work into this relaunch. We reduced the weight of the bottles, so we made sure that we were using less plastic in each of the bottles. The bottles themselves have been redesigned in order to operate with as little plastic as possible. And we've introduced 100% recycled plastic, which means effectively there's no waste. As long as the bottles are getting recycled, we're recycling bottle to bottle. And packaging circularity is something which is, it's a really important first step along the journey to sustainability. But as I say, it's not the final answer, but it's really important to do the work and to look at the different ways we can come up with solutions which address all the issues, whether that's carbon, whether that's water, and whether that's waste.
And you have the same issues, Michael, because again, when I go to buy your product, I have to say I've also got my Ballygown bottle in front of me, but when I go to buy your product, it's in a plastic packaging.
It is, and that's something that's we've been focusing on for about 3 or 4 years now. Prior to the change where recyclable or flexible plastic wasn't, it wasn't possible to be recycled. We've been working on alternatives to that. But I mean, we look at it at from a deeper picture, which looking at the full integrity of our business around sustainable practices, and certainly from a local perspective and an Irish perspective. So we've worked with Board B on Origin Green, which is looking at sustainability around waste, lean manufacturing, converting your inputs to efficient outputs without creating a huge amount of waste, which then goes downstream. And that's a mindset. And packaging is one major part of that. But you have to look at energy usage. You got to look at your water usage and anything that might create waste in the system. So that's put a discipline on our business.
But coming back, any big chunky change that you said that somebody suggested to you, do X, and that it really made a difference?
You know what? In food businesses and any manufacturing business, you are lean by nature. Mm. So if we found chunky change, there'd be a problem. You got me?
That's a fair point.
So it's all marginal gains, our marginal savings. So yes, we've reduced the amount of electricity used per kilo produced, for example. We've reduced the amount of waste to our waste product goes to animal feed, but we've brought that down. And we've reduced the amount of plastic in our process, which generates waste. 91% of plastic is used in packaging. 91% of plastic is used once only as a packaging item. So we focus on our plastic packaging. Similar to Sian, we've had a lot of issues around technical performance. So we're focusing on substrates which are either reusable, or one of our particular areas of interest is compostability. So we can't recycle like Sian's product, which is excellent. It's like aluminium. It goes through the circuit and comes back again. And in Ireland, there's a nice circle, a virtuous circle for compostability. So once you can source a substrate or film which is certified compostable, there are facilities in Ireland whereby that material goes to compost with food items and is then applied to the farmers' fields to re-energize and add nutrients back to the field. So you can see a nice circle where the packaging was used on your product and it's gone back into the environment in a healthy fashion to renew the soil.
Both of you are, if I can use the word hardcore, in business, then it's business is tough at all levels. Is the emphasis on sustainability, does it pay off? Does the Irish consumer, they may nod towards it, but do they actually respond to it, Sian?
It's a really interesting question. As you say, if you speak to a consumer, they will always say, yes, sustainability is incredibly important to me. And there is some really good research out there, which indicates that people say they'd be willing to pay more for it. However, I'm always very mindful. You know, we work in FMCG. An awful lot of our business would be quite price-led. So that's where I think it's important. I think it's really important to be able to communicate your sustainability credentials. And I definitely think there's a benefit for the consumer. But I always look at how we can do it in such a way that it still makes sense for the business. So with Ballygowan, for example, because we took weight and less plastic out the bottle, it meant that we were able to afford to put in the more expensive recycled resin. So it didn't actually overall have an impact on our cost and we didn't have to increase the price. I do think increasingly, you know, that there will be benefits. And one of the things that's really important is for those of us in business who are really trying to do the right things, you need to be able to communicate it. You really need to be able to bring the consumer on the journey in terms of understanding the benefits of your product. Don't just assume that it's going to just automatically sell. You do need to put the work and the effort into communicating it. And that's where a program like Love Irish Food is so valuable, because it's a way that we can join together and really explain, you know, local provenance is one of the aspects of our products that we're really proud of. And it's where consumers can really make a difference, because, you know, even if two products are equivalent, you know, you're immediately taking out food miles, you know, sourcing a bottle of water which has come out the ground in Newcastle West, as opposed to something which has come out of a mountain a further distance away. You know that there is less.
Much further distance away, which always makes my head go, how can it make commercial sense? Maybe it's incorrect to say a low ticket item, but it's certainly margin must be tight. And then to ship it makes no sense to me, but there you go.
Well, I would always support local if I possibly can. And I would say, particularly, you know, when you look around Ireland and you look at the amazing natural environment we have, we're producing some of the best food products and drink products in the world. Why wouldn't you buy local?
Cue Michael. So do the consumers, like what you have is a gorgeous bread, but is the consumer looking at it because it's sustainable, or do they respond to that sustainability argument?
Great question. In terms of local, we're right in that in terms of you're getting your wort from Newcastle West. Our flour and buttermilk is all sourced in Ireland. So we've no issues with Brexit and flour and so on. It's just down the road. And we have two areas of comment from customers. One is resealability. That's great. So that helps their sustainability headspace because we're reusing the bags. And those bags,
I agree with them, you know.
Thank you. And those bags are ending up in the home being used. And we have branding in the home. So that gives us continuity.
Nice one.
And you might have loose change where people are still holding change, golf tees or whatever. Or people have been known to freeze their soup in it, to stand it up in the freezer, and kids' bits and pieces, you know, hair clips and so on. So that's been great. On the other side, we do have customers saying, when are you going to move away from plastic bags? And we have two products out there already in 100% compostable material. It's interesting that they are niche. Because of the pricing issue that Sian referred to. So we have a food service product, which is a two-slice pack, which goes into hospitals and workplace canteens and boardrooms and schools. We have a healthy eating week in a school in Kildare this week, and we're dropping some product down there. So the pupils will get healthy bread in compostable packaging. So there's two messages coming across. And we have our gluten-free soda bread in a 100% sustainable pack. So the carton is card and recyclable, and the film is compostable and goes in your food waste bin. Now, we didn't take or give the cost to the consumer for that. We absorbed the cost for that because it's a niche product and not huge volume. To deal with the commerciality of sustainable materials, which have a much higher price, we will look to introduce new products which are packed in sustainable materials and build the pricing to them. Because of the very, very competitive nature of FMCG, looking for the consumer to pay for the sustainability premium is not realistic. So our loaf of bread, if we were to pack in sustainable material, would go up by about 12%.
Oh, that's chunky.
Very chunky. So we have to find ways to introduce it, i.e. having an alternative product packed in sustainable material.
The shop local movement, now we're going to talk about that. We're in the middle still, unfortunately, of the COVID epidemic. Don't believe anybody knows what's going to come out at the other end. What's your own feeling, Sian, about will the shop local movement continue post-COVID?
Absolutely. I mean, what's been really interesting over the course of the last year, where so much of life was transformed, there were a lot of questions of, you know, potentially, you know, looking at recession, there's a lot of people out of work or on significantly reduced income and businesses under a lot of pressure. And there was perhaps an expectation that sustainability and localness and all of these things, which we've really been building over the years, would take a back seat. But in actual fact, I think it's really made people take a step back and look at what's important. And certainly you'd see a huge increase in people making a big effort to support local business because they really see the benefit. And same with sustainability. People are really looking at what's important, and local business and supporting local jobs is really important to people.
Now, can I ask, is there science behind that, or is that just your marketing gut? Have you actually done focus group interviews?
Honestly, it's my marketing gut, and it's based on what I'm observing. So it is anecdotal, but certainly if you look on social media, there's a huge number of people who would be posting things around shop local, and certainly. Well, I don't have the stats specifically to back me up.
Yeah.
Certainly there's a huge amount of anecdotal evidence in terms of everything that I'm seeing what people are really talking about is really trying to support local.
And are you seeing the same, Michael?
Yeah, I think there's an awareness, a new awareness amongst households as an economic unit as to how hard it is for people who are providing their food and drink to get by. And that has really sunk in over the last year. So there has been an latent movement towards shop local to support those people who are opening up their shops every morning to supply us locally and not go far afield to buy something when you can hop on your bike now, go to your local shop and buy your fresh bread or your fresh meat or whatever. So it's definitely been a movement in that direction, and I think it will stay.
And it's a little hobby horse of mine, but I think that we need to hat tip the workers in retail who have remained at their stations. They are and have been frontline workers. I haven't noticed any big, well, queues, some queues, but the empty shelves.
But also, there's been no major commentary about them. So I think it's important to hat tip them.
Yeah.
It was mentioned in conversation to me last week, you know, by a major retailer thanking us and our team of delivery drivers going into store because they're kind of unseen. And that applies to people behind the counter, anybody who's providing our food and drink. So there is a kind of a balance required for us to look after those while they looked after us during the COVID and support their businesses.
You are listening to the Love Irish Food podcast. For more information, visit www.loveirishfood.ie.
My prep notes tell me that there is 88% brand recognition for Love Irish Food. Does that kind of branding, does it make a massive difference? Do you notice that yourselves, Sian?
You do see an awful lot of positivity towards it. It's certainly, you know, we've been involved in Love Irish Food since the very beginning. And we're very proud of the association and we get huge value out of it. And you would see the name featuring, you would see a lot of goodwill when we're in focus groups and we talk about which brands and which logos you'd trust. Love Irish Food really comes up there as one which people appreciate.
Michael?
Yeah, I think it's also more important now that there's so many brands out there.
Yeah, which, that is a problem, isn't it?
And which may have dubious origins. So we need to ensure that we are very, very clear of who we are, where we're from, and be proud of it. So you couldn't find, I don't think, a better three-word phrase to support certainly the McCambridge brand. The imagery, the messaging is all very relevant for McCambridge. It supports our background and our ethos.
You've raised a very interesting idea in my head there. Are we overbranded, Sian? Is it possible?
Are you asking a marketeer if we're overbranded?
Yes, I am, because you know I don't.
Well, no, I think what's really important about a brand is what value does it deliver and how do you use it to really communicate what's really important? So as I've sort of referred to around sustainability, this is an area where people get very confused and they're very overwhelmed. And that's where I think we see a lack of action sometimes around people choosing more sustainable options because you can feel so helpless. You feel like the challenges are so big and I don't know what I can do. And what I love about a brand like Love Irish Food is it really allows us to communicate the benefits of buying something local, the benefits of really valuing our local food and drink. And it makes it easier for the consumer to make a simple choice. You know, I'm standing at the shelf and I want to choose a product. And actually, you know what? I know because there's that logo there. There's a logo I trust. That I'm supporting local. And it's all of those, you know, people don't spend a long time making that decision and branding and a logo is really helpful in helping with that split second when someone's standing at a shelf and trying to decide which product am I going to pick up? Which loaf of bread do I want to buy?
We were accused in the past of being involved in a race to the bottom. Is it possible with something like a Love Irish Food that it's actually a race to the top to see who is most sustainable, who is most local, who is the bestest, Michael?
Yeah, who's the most virtuous food brand in Ireland? I look at it the other way. It's really, really challenging and rewarding working in the food business. And in Ireland, we have a hugely open economy. Up to Brexit, certainly, it was very easy for goods to move in and out. And so we need everything we can have to support our position in the marketplace. Yes, there is an element of being best in class and who's top of the class, but referring to Board B as Argent Green and Love Irish Food support, which don't forget, we're talking about making sure that members of Love Irish Food are buying their raw materials from Irish businesses. So there's an economic multiplier effect here, and that generates powerful income throughout Ireland. And it's income which is sustainable. We're not going to get up and leave. We're not going to divert production to another plant we have elsewhere in the world. We're here for the long run. So we got to understand that the messaging from Love Irish Food is that our input to the economy is multiplying throughout to allow consumers and households to buy more Irish goods, to generate more jobs, which we can rely upon in the long term.
Which also has a challenge, for not necessarily in either of your two cases, but for the exporters of Irish food, because if and it's a good thing. If everybody buys local, be it Britain or France or wherever, well, the export markets are going to be challenged, Michael.
Yeah, that's right. And that's another element of the really tough competition in global food now, you know. So we have to be very, very clear what market we're going after and how we're going to achieve it, you know. So, but there's been as competition intensifies, so do opportunities to sell. So, you know, 10 years ago, the online channel wasn't as strong as it is now. That's another channel we can export through without having to get a listing with a major multiple in the UK or the US. We can get direct to customer now. That wasn't there. So the harder you push, the more opportunities you'll find.
And that is something that I've only just learned about McCambridge, is that you have gone online.
Yes, we have. And again, that's with product which we're making in Dublin from Irish suppliers. Our range is not exportable because it's got short shelf life. So we've developed a range of products, which means we can export. The first market was the UK. But as often happens, when you develop a product, you can find alternative uses for it. And as online developed, this particular product and products are particularly good for online in terms of their size and their value and their long life. So we've been able to explore export markets, which we wouldn't have before, without leaving Ireland. We have listings with two major online retailers in the UK and with one major online retailer in the US, and I have not got on a flight.
I love that story. That cannot be the same, I presume, with Ballygown. You're not shipping it to my door yet?
Well, no, we're not shipping it to people's doors yet. The one exception, obviously, being our water cooler division, which is primarily focused around offices, but we are increasingly looking at the at-home market and different solutions.
Yeah.
I think in business, you've always got to have an open mind, but it's always the challenge is how do you operate efficiently? How do you reach people with a quality product in a way that suits them, but it also makes some economic sense?
Well, I remember the milkman calling to my door, and I believe in Britain that the milkman is calling to the door again.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't see why the Ballygown man might, or Ballygown woman, should I say, is not calling around. Let's go and broaden it out. And I'm a huge fan of the local enterprise offices, the Leos, and all the work that they do trying to start or help start new Irish food companies. Top tips, Sian, to a food company or a drinks company starting out just now in Ireland. What would you say to them?
I think it's really important to understand your product and understand your consumer. So these are very challenging times. And it's not always easy, particularly as we can't get face to face to people. But what I would say is first and foremost, find ways to get to know your consumer, find ways to build a brand that's really going to appeal by understanding what really matters to them. And then be innovative.
But isn't it true, because I meet many of these people, that the entrepreneur, he or she, loves his drink or their sandwiches or whatever? It's not rational. It's your baby. And you want to convince everybody that your baby is not ugly. It's beautiful. Do you see where I'm going with that? Is how can a brand new brand convince people of something which is just brand new? It's a finger in the air job, isn't it?
It's very hard to answer because I'm not kind of sure what kind of brands you'd be thinking about.
Either drink or food, brand new brands. I want a new biscuit. I want to create a new biscuit, for example. And yet, it's just I find it mentally challenging to say, how can I prove this is going to be a world winner?
You often can't prove that it's going to be a world winner. Let's face it, no one thought Ballygown was going to work.
And I put my hand up.
That's a great example.
I did
not see
it. Yeah,
you didn't see it, but you know what Jeffrey did?
Yeah.
And he went out there and he saw an opportunity. And look, he was the story of how he came up with Ballygown was he was working in a shoe shop and a woman comes in and she's holding this bottle of French water and he got really interested in it and he was asking her about it and he was like, well, why would you get water from France? We have the best water in the world in Ireland. And he moved back home and he created something. And a lot of people didn't believe him. But sometimes you've just got to stick with it. Sometimes you've got an idea and the focus group won't always give you the answer that you necessarily want. But you do have to persist. I'd love to be a Jeff Reed. I don't know how he held up with all of the questions, but he really did. But look, it was a lot of work. He spent several years, you know, sort of like running down the road, bottling things by hand. His whole family were involved. But he stuck with it and he had a vision and he was true to it. And he tried not to listen to the detractors. And in fact, he ignored, I think, an awful lot of the advice he was given at the time. He was talking to marketing companies and they had all sorts of ideas about what he should call the water. But he turned around and he was like, it's Irish. It's Irish water. And he came up with the name Ballygown. It wasn't associated with a place. He thought it sounded Irish. And he had a vision and he stuck with it. And you know what? I think at this stage, we can probably say he had a point.
Yeah.
And it's kind of become part on parcel of our talk now, a bottle of Ballyer.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, when I go back to England and I talk to my friends over there and we talk about water, they're always slightly astonished when I explain that, you know, Ballygown is a brand call, because in England, you know, people look for a bottle of water, a bottle of fizzy water. Whereas, you know, if you go to the pub, when we go back to the pub, you know, someone asks for a bottle of Ballygown. Yeah. They're not asking for a bottle of water. And it's really a brand which has sort of got into people's consciousness. So it's one we're hugely proud of. But look, you can never rest on your laurels.
Ballygown has become a generic.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
So people are asking for a Ballygown. But I think to come to your point also, and that's the marketing side of a new business initiative and bringing new businesses out. Connell mentioned the Leo and this the power of the network. And I hate going back into it, but that's where Love Irish Food comes in, because we're there for smaller brands. So smaller Irish brands who want some guidance or some help or for us to share our pain, and don't do that, please, because we've done it, it doesn't work, is also a very helpful way for brands to find out whether they have a real future or not. The other thing is, it's starting to be boring, is cash flow. You know, don't sacrifice your business. Make sure you have cash flow and be able to call it and stop it if you have to, and look for alternative ways of getting to your market. And focus on your local market. Again, coming back to shop local theme, don't get dragged into growing too quickly, because you won't have the finances to do that. Working capital will go out the door and you'll find you go for growth, but you won't be around. So if you really believe in your brand, which you do, take a long-term view of the brand, because it does take a lot of time to persuade people that your brand is the one for them. It's layers and layers.
I love the chat there about the cash flow, because it kind of comes around to my first point. If you love the baby, you'll spend money and keep spending money because you're blind.
Yeah, yeah. And you won't be able to live to fight another day unless you manage your cash flow, because your idea is probably excellent. You just may be pointing in the wrong direction. And you need to be able to take back some time, have some resources to find out what direction it should go in. Who are the customers? You may be aiming at the wrong customer. You're not to know that until you experience customers not buying your brand and perhaps find people who can buy it.
And I've been around with business people and this kind of this area for a very long time. And I do know when you say talk to other business owners that you mean that, because that's an odd thing about business people. So long as they're not eating, I hope they're eating your bread.
Yes.
But not eating your mark.
Yes, exactly.
That you're happy to help.
Yeah.
You've got knowledge. I presume the same goes with you, Sean.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I get huge value out of, attending events and meeting with other business owners, because you never know where that spark's going to be. You know, we're all looking at similar challenges and people have different solutions. And the answers aren't always obvious, but sometimes by talking to someone and seeing how they've come around finding a solution, you come up with a different version all of your own. So now I've been listening here and sort of thinking, what else could our packaging be used for? You know, I hadn't even thought about the resealability of those bags and how are you reusing things in different ways?
Love that. There you go, Michael. You have maybe made a difference to Ballygown already.
Well, you know, a fellow Love Irish Food member, that's what it's all about.
And if somebody wants to talk to you, pick up the phone, or what do they do?
That's exactly it. Or info@mccambridge.ie.
Absolutely. Pick up the phone. You can reach out to me via the team at Love Irish Food, or find me on LinkedIn. I'm fairly active there.
And I think Aidan Long down at Love Irish Food will also point people in the right direction and into the right sectors. Wouldn't that make sense as well? Yeah. Final thoughts, Michael?
Well, I think that the tough last 12 months has put sustainability slightly into the background, because people have priorities more pressing. But I think sustainability now is going to come right back to the fore. I think Sian's timing on the new Ballygown recyclable and recycled bottle is fantastic. But as we move into to the rest of 21 and 22, it's going to be more and more significant. So we really got to get our act together.
It'll be so nice to get out of this. Final thoughts, Jan?
Whenever I'm talking about sustainability, the first thing I always say to people is it's not easy and it can seem really challenging at first, but the first thing you need to do is just start measuring. So if you're not sure where you are, start measuring your waste, start measuring, you know, finding out where your carbon footprint is. There's a huge amount of support available in various different areas, but start measuring and then, you know, make those incremental differences, because often it will be the small bits. But because, as you've already said, you know, we're in business, we're already very efficient, you know, that there shouldn't be really big gaps there. But if you start with measuring, get in those incremental benefits, and then you look back over the course of a few years and it's amazing how they really stack up. I've been looking back recently with 5 years with Origin Green and writing our 5-year report and looking at the amazing progress we've made. You know, 93% reduction in our carbon emissions associated with Ballygown. You know, there's things like that which at the time can feel like small steps, and then you look back and go, wow, what did we do?
93%? That is a lot. And that is Shan Young. You've got a fabulous title, Head of People and Planet at Britvic Ireland. And before her was Michael McCambridge of McCambridge Bread. Thank you both so much for joining us on episode 1 of Green Ireland podcast series. Do listen to future episodes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Love Irish Food Podcast. For more information, visit www.loveirishfood.ie.